all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Wine.
Welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of Woot and Why. It is May 23, 2015, and I'm joined with...
With Siamese twins now.
I
am Josh Why. How are you going, Woot?
Pretty good for a week of...
In May, yeah. Not much going on. Basketball playoffs in the background. We've got the Cavs and Hawks battling it out. But it's been an exciting week. We'll get into it into the news, but just generally the excitement around these the college football game is great. It's awesome.
Yep.
We are excited. We tweeted out, you know, we'll be heading down there. So you know, let's chill out with some of our Melbourneian listeners. We see them in our Sydney ones at the Brew House.
Yep.
But it'll be good to meet a few more like-minded fans and get on the beers and watch some marching bands and. Some college football action.
About the marching bands, are they all coming?
I hope so. How good was that at the USC UCLA game we went to?
Yes, that was very good.
I still remember them playing Super Bass.
Yeah, I still remember them playing Justin Bieber and things like that.
Yeah, they got into like a formation as well. That was cool. It's all of the fun.
Kanye.
All of the lights.
That was the hit.
That was the best one.
Yeah.
Thanks for the feedback from the last pod. We got a lot of positive feedback, mostly about, not us, because we're uninspiring dregs, but Neil Dutton, who our delightful Pommy friend, plenty of great one-liners, which is great for marketing terms, because yeah, it was good. He was a delight. We'll definitely have him on again. You got to check him out on UK End Zone. It's a delightful podcast and plenty of fantasy knowledge. And we'll definitely get into fantasy as July and August roll around. But for now, it was a pretty news heavy week, so I think we should probably get into it.
Yep.
We'll start with the college football, of course.
Of course. Is there any other way to start?
Got to start on top. Etihad CEO Paul Sargeant announced this week on Sen Radio that they're about 6 to 8 weeks away from dotting the I's and crossing the T's on a deal that will bring college football game down under on a multi-year deal. It's not a one-off. Our discussion is to make it a long-term commitment, one of many, certainly an initial 4 years to start off with. So that's fantastic news. We were in discussions with them on having Paul on today, but he's doing the rounds, Triple M, Sky Sports Radio. He's been flat chat all day.
Yep.
But we thank them. They were very open to having him on, considering we cover college football and NFL.
Yep.
So it was good. Yeah, so that was him on Sen Radio speaking to Andrew Gaze on one of their shows in the morning. And then later that day, Eddie had confirmed it on their Twitter. And then you could also find... the listing on Ticketmaster,
yeah,
which was cool.
Which, you know, I gave it away.
You were like, wow.
It's coming. It's real.
Now, people are questioning whether it'll sell out. If you listen to Sean Callahan's Sports Geek podcast, fantastic podcast if you're into sports and business. He's fantastic. Shout out to Sean, who actually spoke to Dan Butterley and asked him a few questions on our behalf, which was awesome. But basically, December 26 is likely to be the date, and as we all know, that's a huge clash with some sort of cricket game on at the MCG, Boxing Day Test.
Apparently, yeah.
So, do you have thoughts or concerns that it won't sell out?
To be honest, I still think it's a bowl game.
Yep.
I think a lot of Americans are still going to want to travel down, so absolutely. Even if, you know, half the crowd's American... and the rest are just, you know, folk like you and I. I still think it won't have a problem.
It's awesome. I have no doubt my mouth's going to... My mind.
Your
my
mind mound.
Dip a stutter. That it will sell out.
Yeah.
I have no concerns at all. It will sell out. I think it'll be, as Paul said, the hottest ticket in town. And when you think about Docklands, we were down there for the Origin a few years ago, and that's not even a big sport down there. And the atmosphere around the Docklands, like, I think there'll be some tailgating and
I think people are just going to be so excited to see what it's actually like that curiosity will get the better of most people anyway.
Yeah, the cricket's on for 4 days. I know Boxing Day is a huge day on the sporting calendar for Australia, but that's every year. So this is a unique experience, and it's, you know, American sport, as we know, has a huge following in Australia, and let alone, you know, college sports is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And some of the stuff he said behind is that he went to the States twice, so he met the Pac-12 and the Mountain West Conference in Dallas and in Phoenix. So they've been working on it for over a year and a half, so kudos to Paul and the Etihad Stadium team for getting that deal done. And look, concerns about the quality of the game. Pac-12 had 39 players drafted this year, and Mountain West had 10 players drafted this year. And the Pac-12 also tied the ACC for the most first-round picks with 9 players. So we're going to see future NFL players in Melbourne.
It's going to be... when you and I went to see UCLA and USC take each other on, we kind of weren't thinking about the future when we were watching it. We were kind of just embracing the whole atmosphere and the bands and, the, you know, tailgating, that kind of thing. However, we didn't realise that we were watching, you know, the future of...
Yeah, I think if we look back to the result of that game, and it was 50-0 the USC, if we look at the teams, I reckon there's a couple that are in that, definitely, that are playing the NFL that we didn't even know.
Yep.
You know, Leonard Williams might have been a redshirt junior in that scenario.
Exactly. So, and we know Marquise Lee and things like that.
Yeah, we're there, and Matt Barkley, who, you know, isn't quite playing in the NFL, but... man, he had a game that day.
Yeah, sure did.
Absolutely had a huge game. Anything else on the college football story? I'm just pumped for it. Our Facebook page was blowing up. It was just crazy. It was awesome. It's a good feeling.
It is.
It's a good feeling. Now
it's inching closer.
We just need to get Etihad Stadium CEO Paul to just slam us a few media passes, and we can get some good sideline views and. Some interviews for the show, that would be awesome. And listener Pricey, you know, he's huge on college football. He reckons a live show down in Melbourne.
Ooh.
Now that's an idea.
That's an idea.
And I look around and I think we got a spazzy team.
All right, next bit of news.
Jesse Williams.
Hmm.
It's gone from a high to such a low.
Yeah, I probably should have...
Yeah.
Not put Jesse Williams after such a good story, but
yeah.
Well, I think it's a good story in the fact that he's so determined to beat it. But I'll let you finish the story.
Jesse Williams, as we all know, the monster Australian defensive tackle. He was diagnosed with papillary type 2 cancer this week. He'll undergo kidney surgery and won't be playing football in 2015, which is another huge, huge setback considering he was drafted in the fifth round. Oh, he was
projected.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he slid because of the knee concerns, which was justified,
warranted. Quote from him, he said, "Although disappointing, I am a fighter and will handle this. I'm going to focus on my health and fighting this battle with a return to football as my ultimate goal."
There you go, 137th overall pick.
Yep, and he's just 24.
That's crazy to think that such a young guy has had so much issues with now two knees.
Hasn't played, still has a Super Bowl ring.
I know, that's cool. Like, you know, that's what I think someone posted on a Facebook group, like, oh, how much bad luck can this guy have? And I was like, yeah, that's a lot of bad luck, but he got a Super Bowl ring without playing a snap. So that's pretty lucky in that regard, but we wish him all the best. He's actually blocked me on Twitter, personally.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because, look, I said that he was likely to get cut, and he did. It was nothing personal. If you haven't played for 2 years, you're a fifth-round pick. Seattle were deep at defensive tackle. That was all... I was saying nothing personal. I love Jesse Williams. I hope he makes it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Thomas Davis, one of our favorite players, who's come back from multiple injuries and has been, you know, torched from not winning comeback player of the year multiple times. If Jesse Williams comes back from two back-to-back knee injuries and cancer, that's like even better than what Thomas Davis.
He'll have a ESPN short movie.
It'll be like a 30 for 30 or an E60, but like, that's incredible. So we wish you all the best, Jesse, and the entire Australian NFL community and American football community is behind you.
Yep.
All right, speaking of Hard Knocks, how about that segue?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I'm not giving you that.
Three candidates now, down to three teams. The Browns were heavily rumoured to be the favourite, but they don't want to do it.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
They've got to kind of shun the media away from them. Again.
You can't have the cameras glaring on Johnny Manziel after he's had rehab. But Hard Knocks always want teams that are a bit more willing to do it because they get more access than teams that are forced to do it. So that's the issue there. So the three teams are Buffalo, Washington, and Houston. God, I hope it is Buffalo because I don't want to watch Jay Gruden RG3.
I was reading an article this morning, though, that really heavily suggests that Buffalo do not want it anymore and that it looks like it's going to be Houston.
Yes, that's that was Houston Chronicle's John McClain reports the Texans are the favourites. He said that, while the Redskins and Bills are in the mix, Buffalo's new coaching staff reduces its chances of appearing on Hard Knocks, while ESPN's John Keane reported Friday afternoon that the Redskins are not in consideration. So that leaves the Houston Texans as the candidates for Hard Knocks. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd like to see JJ on Hard Knocks.
JJ would be an absolute star.
He would. It'd be hilarious. The other two, I think, would.
I'd love to watch Buffalo just because of Rex Ryan. I love Rex Ryan. You got Percy Harvin in there now. Charles Clay.
McCoy.
McCoy would be awesome.
So you'd be watching that whole scenario and see how. It'll be interesting to see how a franchise rebuilds and things like that. However, you know, it's every year I think, how much can they actually show of this team to make it exciting? Yeah. However, every year it's kind of like, good job.
It's good. It's awesome.
Good job. However, with the show. I'm glad it's not the Washington football team. Yes. I feel like it would kind of just be, how is RG3's rehab going?
It's just RG3 and Jay Gruden. The less I see of Jay Gruden, the better. I just can't hit... When he speaks to media, I cringe. When RG3 speaks to media now, I cringe, and I used to love him. But
I still love him. He
referred to himself in the third person and quoted, Winston Churchill at a press
conference. RG the third? Did he say that?
No, he said, I do what's best for RG3 or something like that. And then he quoted, Winston Churchill in a press conference, so I'm not really a fan. But I like the quarterback battle, Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. You know I'm a fan of Brian Hoyer, or Hoyer everything. I can't see that being a huge, troubling scenario for Hard Knocks because it's two pretty even battles. I know Ryan Mallett is the favourite to win that battle, and I think the Texans are heavily invested in making him the favourite. But you've also got Jadeveon Clowney's bounced back from his rehab.
There's plenty of stuff to go.
Arian Foster, and then you've also got Jalen Strong, who was second-round pick.
How they handle Johnson leaving is going to be interesting.
I
like the quarterback battle, even though it's a quarterback battle between Mallett and Hoyer. I still think, to have that aspect, then you've got the flair and, polarising personalities of J.J. Watt, etc.
Oh, man, J.J. Watt's just an enigma. I love it.
He's the defensive version of Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think he's... in terms of entertaining, but then in the ultimate professional, he's your, defensive player's Peyton Manning, because he's just the ultimate pro, and you know he's going to do the same thing every year, year after year after year.
Yep.
And he... what about that bruise? Did you see that photo?
No.
I tweeted it on the page. I'll see if I can find it. He did a throwback Thursday tweet, and he had a bruise after playing the Buffalo Bills, I believe. And it was a beauty. I just want to show you, see your live reaction on the show. Let's see if we can... Here it is.
I remember this now. Yeah. Oh, God. There you go. That's a live take. I'm never
complaining about a bruise again. That is not fun at all.
Speaking of bruises, and... No. Well, I'm not good at segues either.
You're not the
Actually, I'm good on a segue.
Are you? Yeah. I've never driven a Segway. Where did you do that?
I seriously went four-wheel drive Segwaying in Hunter Valley.
Four-wheel drive Segway.
Obviously not four-wheel, but I went...
What?
What's...
Off-road,
off-track Segwaying.
Nah.
And it was on kind of loose ground. It was terrific.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't fall off.
Gee whiz.
Nor did the girlfriend, so that's impressive.
I trust her more on that than you.
Yeah.
Because you're a lunatic.
All right, anyway.
Yep.
Back to bad news, I guess.
Yep.
I say I guess because...
Well, you're an Eagles fan.
There you go. Giants offensive tackle William Beattie suffered a torn pectoral muscle.
Yes.
Lifting weights and will be sidelined for 5 months.
Gee whiz.
That's huge.
Man, it changes everything in their offensive line now.
So
essentially, three positions had changed.
Flowers is apparently possibly going to left tackle, yep. And then Snead.
No, they're going to move Pugh back to right tackle, and then John Jerry will be at back at guard.
Guard, yes, that's right.
Oh my God,
a great start for Eli, because you know when Eli gets pressure, he likes.
He
likes them picks.
He has the weapons, but yeah, you can't if you don't have the time.
Exactly.
You can't make those throws. You got to let your wide receivers hit their routes and make their moves.
If Eli has time, he can pick out anyone. I don't have any doubts about that. Absolutely. However, as soon as there's an inch of pressure, he just doesn't handle it well.
He doesn't have the ability like Andrew Luck or Big Ben to evade, you know, defenders and roll out of the pocket.
Exactly.
It's just huge because they invested such a high pick on Ereck Flowers, who by some is considered like a project long-term left tackle, but needs to develop as a right tackle first to develop those pro-style skills. Yeah. And then now they're immediately thrust, they may have to immediately thrust him over at left tackle or bring up someone completely new at left tackle and keep him at right tackle and keep Pugh inside, which is an option. But then you've got some no-name at left tackle and protecting Eli's blindside. You either got a rookie or a tomato can protecting Eli's blindside. A
tomato can?
Yeah. Just someone that's not going to do a good job. And it sucks. Frankly, it sucks because the Giants were going to be one of them. A bold prediction this year was I was going to take them to win the division.
You know what? Before the draft, I would have said it can't be the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because no one repeats. So yeah. I thought I was going to say Philly or the Giants.
I really liked them adding Vereen in. I just sort of opened up the passing game a lot because he was fantastic for New England. I just thought that offense was getting in a roll, and you added Ereck Flowers and Pugh, I have no doubt, is a good guard. He's not a great right tackle. And, you know, we had Josh Liskowitz on and said Ereck Flowers would be a fantastic right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty was their best offensive lineman. I thought that line was getting
better. Is it Betty or
Beattie? Betty. I want to call him Willie B. He was their best lineman last year. He was a fantastic left tackle, and now it's a huge loss. I know we're in May, so he's not out the whole year, but it's not a good start, especially in a division that's going to be tight.
Question. The running back situation in New York.
Hmm.
Who is their starting runner? Is it Rashad Jennings?
See, I think it will be, but like when you think of Rashad Jennings 2014, what do you think of? I just scream, like my face just goes, meh. Scrunchy.
Injuries, inconsistency.
Yeah, just issues.
Just like they never get the ball rolling. It always seems like the whole Wilson thing happened.
Yeah,
that was a huge setback. And then Andre Williams, who we're kind of high on.
Yeah, but good thumper on third down. But is he an every down back?
No,
I don't know. And Vereen's not renowned for being a runner of the football.
No,
he can, but his best asset is in the passing game.
The short,
yeah, after passing. The catch. Yeah,
all right. Next. All right,
next piece of news. The NFL suspends Bills defensive tackle Marcel Dareus for one game for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Remember, he was arrested for possession of synthetic marijuana because, you know, why not? Why have synthetic marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to take the chance on smoking marijuana and get caught as an NFL player, just do normal marijuana.
You make enough money to.
No, but I'm just like,
maybe it's the scarcity of
it. Oh, I don't know. It's just like, well, what's the point of, you get caught for synthetic marijuana, you don't even get the kick of marijuana, but then you're still going to get suspended anyway. So it's like a lose-lose. Such a Buffalo thing. Anyway, so basically he's out for the Colts game, but they'll get him back for week 2 against the Patriots. It's not a huge concern, but I think that game was a bit of a toss-up for me between Buffalo and the Colts, but without Marcel Dareus now, that's a pretty big blow. When he's on the field, because he's had some injury problems and things like that, he's a dominant force inside.
Sure is.
And out. He can play both.
What kind of season do you think Mario Williams has?
well, this isn't going to be a huge loss, so double-digit sack year, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
With Rex? Yeah, absolutely.
This is really affects fantasy.
Yes.
The Dallas running back situation got even murkier.
Yes.
They brought in Ben Tate. Felix Jones is back in town. And Daniel Thomas.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch the... I mean, yeah, they stink.
Was that really... Was that the last one? Or all of them?
They all stink.
Yeah?
They all stink.
Okay, if Ben Tate was healthy, he has potential.
No, he showed nothing last year.
That was... Come on.
Cleveland was terrible, went to Minnesota, was terrible. Matt Asiata showed more burst, and he's the slowest running back I've ever seen in my life.
All right, anyway... Anyway,
none of them
should be their running back. I still think the running backs they have trump all those. However, why are you bringing Felix Jones back in?
He's like 75 years old.
75 years old, and they've gotten rid of him like how many times?
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
He ran a 4.79 and a 4.85 at the 40 at the Veteran Combine, which there's some question marks over the accuracy of the timing, but even if... At worst, at best, it's a 4.6 up. Yeah. Still slow. For someone that's played, you know, that's quite old, I'm not a huge
and
Felix Jones
Daniel
fan.
Thomas has never shown anything. So no,
3.6 yards per carry his career.
3.8.
Pardon?
Let's not take away that zero.
Oh, no. 3.8 last year, but career 3.6.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Well, I
you know, he had a career year last year with that extra 0.2 a carry.
That was a huge.
Yes. But seriously, none of them will make the roster. I think it is a race between Darren McFadden, Joseph Randall, and Ryan Williams. I think they're just doing their due diligence and bringing people in. But in saying that, there's so many better options out there. How is Ahmad Bradshaw not an option?
Maybe it's just not their philosophy to have a bruiser like that. That's the only thing.
I'd bring back LaDainian Tomlinson or Joseph Addai before I signed Ben Tate, Felix Jones, or Daniel Thomas.
I can't believe we're still talking about these guys.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. All right. Next, speaking of Dallas, former Dallas Cowboy Michael Sam, he signed with the CFL, is that Alouettes?
Yep.
So he's heading north of the border. So his NFL market dried up after his stint with the Rams and the Cowboys. So, the CFL, yeah, it's a bit of a downgrade in quality, obviously. But, look, he's playing professional football.
He's playing professional football. Getting it also paid for gives it. Him, exposure. Exposure is the word, yeah.
Yeah, and look, he might be able to improve on his game there. It is still professional football. It is, I'm sure there's some college football teams that think they could beat CFL teams, but, you know, I've watched some CFL. It's not bad. Players like Cameron Wake and Jarrell Freeman have made the transition from CFL. Brandon Browner also played in the CFL. So Michael Sam might have a similar trajectory. He might play there for a few years, work on his skills, find a niche.
It's not arena football.
Pardon?
It's not arena football.
It's not arena football. Although the LA Kiss have the awesomest jerseys.
Awesomest.
Awesomest jerseys.
Trademarking that word.
It's crazy. All right. Look, it's you know, it's pro football. Here comes the money. Here we go.
Money talk. Here comes the money. $15 an hour.
He's getting paid, yes.
Moving on. Still staying with...
Dallas.
Dallas and Cowboy related.
Otherwise, it's Jerry's world and we're just living in it, buddy.
Cowboys signed cornerback Orlando Scandrick to a one-year, $9.5 million contract extension through to 2019.
Yeah.
That's huge money.
Yeah, the numbers are a little bit misleading, though.
That, and it is. We know our friend Laurie is very high on him.
I like Scandrick.
When Philadelphia drafted Nelson Aguilar, he was like, oh, no problem, Scandrick's got him. That's how he viewed it.
So, yeah, he was scheduled to earn only $1.5 million this year and $3 million in each of 2016 and 2018. So, he's extended that through to 2019. Yeah, it's wise. He's their best corner. Brandon Carr's been an absolute... I don't know.
People still view him as...
I don't.
It's just the big name. It's just
when
the...
he got signed, I'm trying to think of biggest free agent busts in the last few years to try and put a name on it, but I
think Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yeah, that's a real Nnamdi Asamoah. But I think Brendan Carr might even trump that because of the money. So maybe it's maybe that's the new free agent bust that we compare everything to. That's a real car of a deal.
Except Brandon's still there.
I know, but like they would lose money by releasing him because the way the contract is. We had Shane on months ago and we talked about that, and he's on.
Does Byron Jones push him out?
Oh, absolutely. Byron Jones is great. We love him. We do. I know you don't like him anymore because he's a division rival, but I like Byron Jones. And look, Claiborne, I don't know. It's a mixed bag, but yeah, Skandrick's definitely their number one corner, and to lock him up now for the next 4 years is a very good decision. Speaking of good decisions, Chargers signed Joseph Barksdale, right tackle. I like that. I can't believe he was on the market that long. A lot of teams need offensive line help. And he played okay in St. Louis, just the rest of the line stunk. So it just made him look bad. So I think he will play at right tackle, and Fluker will just absolutely maul people at right guard. He'll just destroy people.
I liked DJ Fluker at right tackle, though.
Yeah, but he's going to be like, man, Melvin Gordon will be loving the lanes that Fluker's going to just destroy for him.
Yeah.
Fluker's been great. It's been great, but...
Do you think Melvin Gordon's the kind of inside runner, though, that would thrive on that, or he'd be a better outside runner?
I've seen him do it all. I've seen him do it both, but he's got that elite... He's got, not elite speed, but he's got that ability to hit the fast acceleration, hit gaps.
I know he's exciting, and I have... he's in a great position in San Diego to get carries, etc. I'm just not that...
Sold. Yeah, I'm a little bit... oversold because I'm a Badgers fan and I really like Melvin Gordon. I like him as a person and I like him as a player.
History of Wisconsin running backs is not great.
No, and that's why, and I think that about Alabama running backs, so I'm a bit iffy about TJ Yeldon in that regard because it's a little bit, you know, how you going. So it's definitely interesting. But I like the signing. They would have got him cheap. It's May. How many good signings you get in May? So it's not too bad. And look, the Rams drafted, funnily enough, ironically, Rob Havenstein, who blocked for Melvin Gordon in Wisconsin in the draft. So Havenstein's replacing Barksdale, and then Barksdale's going to the Chargers to block for Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
It's a bizarro world. All right, I'll do this next bit of news because it's my favorite player.
Because you're a homer.
I am a homer for the four-time NFL MVP. Peyton Manning was on the final episode of David Letterman. Which, you know, it's sad to see Letterman go. I don't know about you, but I like Letterman.
Yep.
You a fan?
I'm a fan.
What about other talk shows? Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon?
Kimmel?
Yeah, I like Kimmel. I like Fallon. I like Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferguson's always on really late here. When you're coming home from the pub or something, it's always on.
He's just the Scottish accent that gets me. It's hilarious. The
Scottish accent. You like the Scottish accent, do you?
Kind of.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Manning was in the final top 10 list, which include the likes of Steve Martin, Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Murray, Tina Fey, Chris Rock. Jim Carrey was even on it in a T-shirt and beard. Looked like one of his characters from Dumb and Dumber, actually. And he was number 3 on the list, and he said it was things I've always wanted to say to Dave. And then Manning said, "You are to comedy what I am to comedy." So he left the pause there. I think everyone was expecting him to say football. And I thought it was good.
Hilarious.
He didn't write it. The writers wrote it for him. Bill Murray was the best, though. He jumped out of a cake and was drunk. And it was awesome. Anyway, so Manning, he thanked Dave Letterman for 10 years and says, "We're really going to miss him and the show," which is, you know.
True.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was that bit of news. Bit of excitement.
Excitement?
Yeah.
That was enthralling. Mate. Enthralling stuff. I got a it's getting worse. Moving on. Darrell Revis commented on Deflategate this week as Robert Kraft accepts the Patriots penalty. And stated they won't fight it.
What do you think about that?
I To be honest, I think that everyone's just done with it. Yeah. I don't think it's not going to affect
it's got nothing to do appeal. With Brady. They've said that, and we tweeted that out straight away. It's got nothing to do with it. I think it's probably a wise decision by Kraft to not drag this out and just finish with the negative publicity of it. And also, it probably is like a goodwill gesture to sort of build that bridge between him and Roger Goodell, and he can, speak to him privately behind the scenes, and maybe they might be able to come to a little agreement about Tom Brady, sort of off the record. They are close friends.
Yep.
So it was a wise decision.
Everyone who has a brain in their head, Darrell Revis said everyone's blowing it up because it's Tom Brady, which is true. However, like a true Jet already, said, I understand that, but if the NFL feels he did the crime or he did something and they want to penalise them, then that's that. The Patriots have a history of doing stuff. You can't hide that. Tom was there when they did that stuff in the past. Which is just stupid, really. It's just dumb.
He's like a robot, man. He's a Patriot. You put the Patriots chip in, doesn't say a word for the whole year.
He doesn't. It's all money-based.
It's all, money-based. And it's just like, Bill Belichick, I only say what Bill Belichick wants me to say, and now he's a Jet. It's just like,
he's never been really in anything controversial, has he?
No, not really, but like, when he was a Jets player, he used to speak up against the Patriots, and now that he's a Jet again, he's just put the computer program back into his mind, and now he hates New England again. He's like a cold-hearted robot.
Well, he has to. He stays out of the press unless he's doing something amazing on the field.
That's true.
If I fail a drug test, then I fail a drug test. If I get a DUI, I get a DUI. If Tom gets caught with a DUI... I've stuffed this whole thing up. If Tom gets caught with a DUI, it's a DUI. If they are saying that he did what he's done, then the suspension is the suspension. I'm the commissioner. I'm not the commissioner, and don't make the rules. If they want to change based on the information or new evidence, then okay, but it should have nothing to do with Tom being the face of the NFL.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Is this me or Revis?
Revis.
All right, good.
Because DUIs and a drug test are like strict, the liability in that is it's a test. So you either pass or you fail the test. So that's the only evidence. It doesn't matter what you've done in the lead up. You're either on the drugs or you're not on the drugs. You're either drunk or you're not drunk. Deflating footballs is... That's awesome. Now that he's a Jet, he's back saying dumb things. It's just so funny.
I want to talk about this because I like it.
Well, me and you are going to differ on this, so...
New NFL rule. The extra point rule for 2015 just changed. The snap for the kick from the 15-yard line and 2-point try stays at the 2-yard line and defense can return.
So the field goal is now a 33-yard attempt. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Why thinks there's too much power in at the kickers?
I've seen too many kickers completely up playoff games, and it shits me.
Why?
Because it just changed.
It's an integral part of the game.
I know, but I just can see it now. I was going to say Flacco, but Tucker doesn't miss kicks. I can see, like, I'm thinking of Billy Cundiff. I can see someone driving down the field, tying a game, and then some idiot kicker misses a field goal, and it changes the whole game. And we're robbed of overtime because they decided to move the 15-yard back, move the PAT back,
It's all to increase the excitement, and it's to increase...
But I'm not excited by extra points anyway.
It's the whole thing is to increase the likelihood that you decide to go for 2 points instead of a field goal.
Yeah, but then you've moved the 2-point back to the 2-yard line, so it makes it even harder to do that.
It says it stays at the 2-yard line.
Oh, sorry.
So they haven't touched it.
They didn't
it at
move
all.
It back.
No.
Wait, they were going to move it to the 1-yard.
They were going to move it forward, they didn't. Sorry. They didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They didn't move it, so they didn't entice it even more the other way around.
Then how many quarterback sneaks would there be to be stupid?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but the two, I like. I like it because they're gonna. It's more inciting. They're gonna make 2 yard, 2 point conversion. Sorry, more.
Yeah, well, it's cool.
People want to see that.
The defense that can return, it's cool because it's like.
I see. I've never understood why they didn't get rewarded if they intercepted it or things like that. That doesn't make sense.
Well,
to me.
Stops them from. You normally teams are going up for two because they need to tie the game or they want to win the game. So just stopping them is benefit enough.
Yeah.
But I understand like if they're going to go for it earlier on in the games, I think they should just can field goals, extra points altogether, and just have 2 point tries. You either get it or you don't.
Nah.
And it's up to the offensive coordinator. Just, it's like a mini game of football inside a game of football.
If they have, you know, it's first and 10, and then second and 7, and third and 5, or whatever, and then they finally get it, and then they have to go again, that's...
It's a do or die play.
No. You get for a kicker than besides kicking the ball.
That's
is
what
that,
you get.
Is that what you want, though?
You get more Tebows in the NFL.
Stop. So do you want the end result to be the kicker only has the role of kicking the ball off for a game?
No, you can have field goals. I don't know, and it's annoying because I really like kickers because we're always punters of people too here. So we love the special teamers, but I can see games being won 14-13 because some kicker has missed an extra point and it's annoying. For me, that annoys me. That's just my personal view on it.
It's still 91% or something.
Oh, it's like 91% is the worst one from the right hash or something like that. Pro Football Focus did the data.
Exactly.
Still, I set the line at 2 games this year will be ruined by it.
And like Luke said when we were talking about this subject, he said, how many games are decided by dodgy calls anyway?
Yeah, I know, but that's football.
So, wouldn't kick be too?
Yeah, but, kicking's...
What about...
Kicking's
not... No, what about when, there's all those accidents when they accidentally call a timeout and freeze the kicker and then they miss it afterwards and things like that? This always happens.
The coaches get fired because of that, you know what I mean? But I just don't like the fact that kickers can alter players' legacy. We talk about legacy, about quarterbacks and things like that, and kickers can alter someone's legacy. You work hard all year and you get some stupid kicker... Cunding effort. Cunding it.
Did I stutter?
and ruining games. But I set the line at 2 games this year, and we're going to do a bet on this. Will be decided by a missed PAT.
Why are we doing a bet? I don't even care.
No, I'm just saying. I just want to prove a point. 2 games will be ruined this year for it because of it. Over or under?
Over or under?
Yeah, 2 games will be decided by a missed extra point.
I hope over.
You hope over?
Yeah.
No, well then, how are you going to do a bet? That you ruined it. You've ruined it.
I didn't want a bet. I just have no problem with it.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right, moving on. Ryan Tannehill's new contract, 6-year, $96 million contract, which was initially reported as $45 million guaranteed, but that's a little bit misleading. The deal's only fully guaranteed him at signing, so when he signed it, of $21.5 million. So he gets bonuses throughout the year, throughout his... years in Miami, so he gets $21.5 million guaranteed at signing, $3.5 million guaranteed when he's on the roster in March 2016, and the $14.475 million he's scheduled for in 2017 doesn't become guaranteed until March of that year, and the same can be said for the $5.525 million due in 2018.
So
it's actually a friendly deal. It's a
so
pay as you
saying
go.
That he signs and then bam, $21.5 million.
Yeah, so he's got. Well, if he gets sacked tomorrow, he's guaranteed $21.5 million.
That's just so...
But, like, they're not going to do that. But I'm saying that they can, before March 2016, they can cut him in. It's only at a $21.5 million. Only $20.5 million
it's only,
loss.
It's only
money.
It's nothing.
So it's essentially a, PAYG, as we all know, is a pay-as-you-go type deal for 2 to 3 years. It's actually not a bad salary. It's about an average of $16 million annual. So it's not that bad.
No, it's good for everyone, I reckon.
What his deal has done, though, is started a lot of quarterback debate with players, now Russell Wilson saying how much is he going to get, Andrew Luck, Pat McAfee tweeted that basically if, Ryan Tannehill's getting $96 million, then Andrew Luck will just be given the Colts franchise. What's your thoughts on Russell and Andrew's subsequent deals?
Well, if Russell's still looking at getting the max deal,
yeah,
I would say cut him.
What?
He's
Sorry, that's crazy.
No, if
he's a franchise quarterback.
He is, but then, like, look what they did with him. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Are you?
That team runs on the defense.
And Marshawn Lynch.
And Marshawn Lynch, right? If you can get another bruising running back like that, once Marshawn, I mean, it's a big if. But if they could, you know, find a good replacement and keep that defense together for the coming years,
you think they can make do with another?
They could
quarterback. Are you of the opinion that Russell Wilson is a? We'll start with a. Are you of the opinion that he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Top 5?
No.
Okay.
He can do what's asked of him.
Yep.
However, he doesn't need to throw it as many times as other quarterbacks.
No.
Pass happy systems.
Yeah.
And things like that. I mean, how hard is it to hand it off to the best running back in the league?
It is. It's pretty easy.
It's...
And Alex Smith's sort of a similar. With just passing it off to Jamal Charles and just, you know, he's a game manager. But I don't want to use that label on Russell Wilson.
Because he's not.
Because he's a game winner as well. But, you know, his playoff performance in Green Bay for 3.5 quarters was putrid. Exactly. And then he manages to win that game on great defense and the running game of Marshawn Lynch. So I can see exactly your point, but I need to look at the numbers before I make that decision. And obviously you would too. You're saying max, so we're talking a lot of guaranteed.
What
money.
He's asking for is insane.
It is
and like,
crazy.
Is it worth crippling your franchise to keep this? You know, he is the face of the franchise. I'm not going to say that. Like since the Super Bowl win and things like that, everyone associates Russell. He's what the highest selling jersey, isn't it?
I think it's Brady now after Deflategate, ironic.
Which is that's hilarious.
Inflation.
Yeah. do they inflate the price?
Prices are maybe.
I don't know.
Too funny.
Yeah, no, but he is the face of that franchise. But look, without that defense, the team would be completely different.
Yeah. See, I think of it this way. I consider Russell probably a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I need to go through, and we talked about this when the Around the NFL did their Dalton scale episode. It's tough, and it brings up a lot of debate when Ryan Tannehill signs his contract. Hence why we're talking about it. But it's, and franchise quarterbacks are so rare. And you know, if you have Russell Wilson, you're guaranteeing yourself nearly double digit wins for the next 10 years.
If Seattle had RG3, how different would they be? Dramatically.
Yeah. See, he's so bad. So maybe if you. Say another quarterback.
If he played the way he played the first season in Washington?
Oh, yeah. No, they would probably have won the Super Bowl that year. That RG3. Next year, maybe 8-8.
See, it's...
I don't know. It's tough to work out.
Washington are contemplating, you know, there was all rumours at the end of last season that they were going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And you're saying that he could have possibly, you know, went to Seattle when he was playing well.
Yeah, this is rookie RG3, because it all went to smithereens after that.
There was also the knee concerns the year after, so that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
It's so hard with Russell. Andrew Luck will get, you pay Andrew Luck whatever the hell you want, because he's carrying that team, has since his rookie year. He's getting a little bit of help from Vontae Davis and T.Y. Hilton, but that's about it. Andrew Luck's a team first guy, so I can't see him taking a huge deal. If I'm the Colts, I'd try and get in first before Russell Wilson's deal, because if Russell Wilson's deal goes through, I think the Colts will want to say, you know what, Andrew's better than Russell, we'll pay him more, and I think that's dumb.
Yep.
And I can see my organization doing that, and I don't like that.
You know they will want to wait.
Yeah, I know, it's silly.
Because they want to wait and see.
Yeah.
But then...
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's Russell Wilson. What trade value would you get on? But then they've just traded for Jimmy Graham and giving him weapons and Tyler Lockett. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of like a really just run of the mill quarterback. What if Andy Dalton played for Seattle?
Don't you think Alex Smith could do it?
Oh, yeah, but I'd rate Alex Smith ahead of Dalton. What if Andy Dalton played for Seattle? Would he win playoff? Would he win a playoff game?
Ooh. See, that's when the defense comes into it.
Yeah, I know.
There's enough good, you know, defense with a weapon like Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, that's true. He's competent. See, this is the thing. Like, with Russell Wilson there for 10 years, you're guaranteed 10 wins. But how many deep Super Bowls runs are you going to go on when you lose Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and players like that? Because at the end of the day, your defense wins your championships. Why do you think New England's four titles have been when they've had a top 15 defense?
Mm-hmm.
For years, their
cornerback situation.
Who?
New England's is in a dire situation.
With Brady?
Cornerback.
Oh, corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that with the news, so we could probably do that next. But, you know, they only won. Tom Brady carried them to 12 wins throughout the most of that when the offense was the sole focus, but never won the big one until he had that top 15 defense and had Revis and Ty Law and all those guys in there. But it's definitely interesting with Russell Wilson. I can see a similar career path to Brady when I look at Wilson. You're winning early with a great defense on very low salary. You get paid. You start to lose that defensive prowess. You win 10 to 12 games for most of your career, and then you need to refuel that secondary to win.
Russell Wilson is a good game manager?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I close my eyes and just think of that last pass and in the Super Bowl. Just hand it off. Hand it off. And as you said, we'll go to
I still predicted they were going to throw that. I still stand by it. I knew they were going to throw it. I don't know.
And they traded for Jimmy Graham because of that play. They overreacted to that play. Oh, we don't have a red zone target. Let's trade for Jimmy Graham.
They have Matthews.
Pardon?
They have Chris Matthews.
Yeah, they have Chris Matthews.
He knows how to...
Chris Matthews band. As you said, I didn't put that in the news, but you're right. The New England Patriots, they released... Chimdi Chekwa, who rejoined Oakland, and they also lost Kyle Arrington and Alfonso Denard. So they're
clearing everyone out.
They basically had Malcolm Butler and Bradley Fletcher.
You've done the job.
Yeah.
You're starting.
And Bradley Fletcher, who was burnt toast last year. Yep. So, it's a bit crazy in the cornerback situation in New England. They better chickity check themselves before they wreck themselves, Cotton. All right, it's our last bit of news before we are joined by, hopefully, joined by Matthew Bungard. We're going to get him on the line for his rumble on the topic of Joe Flacco. But first... Brayden's a real
American. Don't draft me, I'm going to have to beat you for the next 15 years.
Okay. Beware of the QB, he will make it blame. Brayden's a real American, leading the fight.
Gabbit Watch.
Yes. Day 47. Gabbit Watch.
Do you want to know what's happening with Gabbit Watch?
Yes.
The latest with Blaine Gabbit is that undrafted rookie DeAndre Campbell out of Washington made a couple of nice catches on Blaine Gabbit passes, including an outstretched catch on the sideline.
Wow. Gabbit OTA News.
Blaine's a real American.
Don't draft me, I'm going to have to beat you for the next 15 years.
Okay.
Beware of the QB, he will make it Blaine. Blaine's a real American, leading the fight. Let's win tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, it's time to rumble. I'm joined on the phone by Matt Bungard. You know him from our regular segment, What's Your Flavor? And you also know him now from a popular NRL podcast, Get Around This. How are you going, Matthew?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, not much. You want to give us a little plug for your new podcast that you've been doing? You're up to just two episodes in?
So if you like NRL and you are not too annoyed by the sound of my voice, then Get Around This is definitely the podcast for you.
Yes.
We're hoping to do one together about Jarryd Hayne in the next few weeks.
We are. And
people can't get enough of Jarryd Hayne.
They cannot.
They've got to get around Jarryd Hayne.
Well done. We're actually trying to cut back on the number of times we say that during the show.
We get around something.
Get around it.
Yep.
Mine's get amongst this. I always say get amongst it. So maybe you could go with that instead, just to mix it up a little.
Maybe.
Yeah, just got to pay me royalties, that's all.
And we got marked as explicit on iTunes. It's really annoying.
Oh, you can change that.
Because, like, Mitch said the S word, which I won't say, because it'll automatically pick it up and mark your podcast as explicit.
No. Mitch said the S word once. I've said it twice, and we haven't been picked up. So
that's so weird. He said it once.
Oh, okay.
And we got marked as explicit.
Yeah, because you're like one of your first episodes. So we were clean for like 9 episodes, and then they were like, all right, we trust you now. You guys are cool. So that was how it worked.
And now we pretty much just swear the whole thing.
Now we just drop bombs all the time, and it's fine.
All right.
Fair enough.
Okay, you ready? So do you know how... Are you familiar with this game?
I think you ask me questions I don't know the answer to, and then... We'll have a good laugh.
Okay, that's pretty much it.
That's exactly it.
There's 8 questions, because me and Josh both share the birthday 8 and initials. So, you know, we're pretty much twins. You got to get 6 right, and if you get 6 right, you win a prize, which is not established yet.
If it's a Blaine Gabbert jersey, I already have one.
No. We just did a Blaine Gabbert watch, so you'll be impressed with that.
I can't wait to listen to that.
Yes. I'm going to play some Jeopardy music, which you won't be able to hear, but when that expires, your time is up, and Josh will yell out, stop. You can pass on a question if you don't know it, and there's a couple multiple choice.
Oh, good.
All right. Are you ready?
No.
Okay, let's do it. Question 1. Joe Flacco was drafted in 2008 at what number overall?
He was the...
You better keep moving, buddy.
10th pick?
No. All right. In what city was Joe Flacco born?
Audubon, New Jersey.
Wow. Whoa. That's double points.
2 points.
At what college did Joe play at before transferring to Delaware?
He went to Pitt and was beaten out by Tyler Palco.
Yes. What is Joe Flacco's career passer rating according to NFL.com? Is it A?
Career?
I got multiple choice. 93.5, 84.8, or 97.5?
What was the second one?
84.8.
And what was the first one?
93.5.
It's one of those. B.
Correct. How many touchdowns and interceptions did Joe Flacco have in his incredible playoff run in 2012?
In the whole playoff run?
Yep.
He had 11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Correct. What pizza franchise sold a product called Flacco Favorites in 2009-2010?
Papa John's.
Ooh, time is up.
All right, hold on. I want to ask him the last few questions just to see how he went. Who famously said this about Joe Flacco? Joel is dull. As dull as
he... His dad.
Yeah. Oh, damn. And what team did Joe record his first ever NFL win against?
Cincinnati.
Oh, man.
Last question. Who is better, Joe Flacco or Matt Ryan?
Joe Flacco.
Oh, that is wrong.
I didn't know that.
That's not a question. But he was drafted 18th overall.
Ah.
And the pizza franchise was Pizza Hut.
Did I get the rest right?
You did. So, yeah, he was born in... We left it at Philadelphia because we weren't sure if... We didn't want to go
We said we'd give you double points in agreement before
If you got Audubon, and you did. He did play at Pitt, and it was 84.8. That's his career passer rating. Option A in that was 93.5. That's actually Matt Ryan's career passer rating. And C was 97.5, and that's Peyton Manning's career passer rating. Yes, correct. 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in 2012, which is just, like, lights out incredible. And, yeah, his father called him pretty much dull. So you did okay. You just didn't win the prize.
I got enough questions to win. I just ran out of time. I didn't know there was a time limit.
I said that was it.
I thought there was a time limit per question.
Well, you know, you just need to listen, buddy. And
so basically the idea of this game is for you to screw people out of prizes even when they get enough answers correct.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with Justin, because he ran out of time. But you need to be quick.
That's annoying, because I got enough right. But at least I didn't embarrass myself.
That's true.
Like the Atlanta Hawks are doing right now.
Yeah, well, that's true. And look, have you ever heard of a show called Millionaire Hot Seat? because that has like a time limit on answering questions.
But that's like, don't you reckon that that was just, it's just so much more flawed than the classic version?
it's the most ridiculous.
It is, but the classic,
it's so terrible.
But the classic version,
you could come in and get, what is it, like 14 questions in a row right, and then get the last one wrong. And then, like, some moron can just come in and, like, just win 50 grand.
Yeah,
that's, and you get nothing.
And yeah, just have, cool. take a guess and go, yep.
Yeah, but in terms of...
And even if they get it wrong, they get still get, like, $1,000, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But in the entertainment part, who wants to be a millionaire?
No, I found Original Millionaire Farmer and saying, this is just, like, morons taking guesses and stuff.
Yeah, but sitting there, people going, thinking.
No, I loved it when they used to call a friend and they'd be like, is it A, B, say B again. Say C again, and then the time would run out, and they'd be like, "Oh, thanks."
And the times where you could hear the person googling in the background.
Yes.
Oh, damn! I'm annoyed at myself. What would my prize have been if I'd not run out of time?
We got
probably a signed Joe Flacco jersey frame.
Oh, stop it!
Yeah. No.
Remember when you were one pass away from having to buy a Joe Flacco jersey?
Man, I would have happily bought that jersey. Happily. Do you know what that would have meant? We would have not have Deflategate, so that would have been fun.
And no, that would have been good.
We would have had an enjoyable, like, more enjoyable Super Bowl. We would have had, you know, Colts v. Baltimore too. So me and you would have had a, you know, bit of a friendly. It would have been a better in the alternate world. That would have been a better situation.
But you just would have had Justin Forsett running it down your throat instead of LeGarrette Blount. It would have been the same result.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine. I'm happy to lose to the Baltimore.
Although Andrew Luck would have just feasted on our cornerbacks.
Yeah, he would have. He would have went to lunch. Yep.
All right. I'm excited for a Rashaan Melvin-less season this year.
Yes, I think you are. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I think I'm good.
Yep. Where can listeners find Get Around This and yourself?
You can check us out on Podbean. It's getaroundthis.podbean. Wouldn't want to follow us. You can get it off their side link thing. And also, we're on Twitter at getaroundthis with an underscore at the end because... Get Around This was taken by some robot in 2009.
Don't you hate that?
Zero tweets. It's great.
It's better than putting a number at the end.
That is true.
Yeah, that's cool. You know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, Matt.
Bye.
Bye. So that was the Rumble. So we've had two knowledgeable guests, just the time limit. But that's the game. You got to work it out. Games aren't meant to be easy.
Are we allowing for passes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that. You can pass. And he, you know, the first question, he wasted like
that's where,
18
that's
seconds. Like,
that was his only downfall.
Yeah, you just got to pass. If he just passed and went through, he would have won. He wouldn't even.
He would have made it to his father's question.
Yeah, he wouldn't even have needed. That was what I was trying to say. The first question. Anyway, Matt mentioned Podbean, and I forgot that we totally did not talk about that. We are the featured podcast on Podbean this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
you know, it's the whole of the Podbean community are just, you know.
Yeah.
Are you not
entertained?
That's it.
It's our beautiful mugs on their homepage.
I know, it's pretty cool. You know, 741,000 podcasts, and we're one of the four featured ones.
There's about 4 billion downloads.
Yeah, that's right, the list of downloads.
Yeah.
3 billion to us, which is
to
great.
Us.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We're sitting on a huge
But we need subscribers,
yes.
Not just downloads.
What we do need, though, is iTunes reviews, and you can find us on iTunes. Just
if
search.
You leave a review, by the way, if it's 5-star,
we'll
say it has to be 5-star, or 4.5 and above.
No, 5.
5?
Yeah.
All right, 5-star, we'll read it out.
Okay.
Yeah?
There you go. We've got 10. We need more than 10. I know there's more than 10 listeners.
There's definitely more than 10 listeners.
Definitely more than 10 listeners. The amount of tweets we get. Please, subscribe to us on iTunes, so just search Woot and Why. We're also on Stitcher for you Android users, so you can give us a rating on Stitcher as well. Same thing applies, 5 stars. And that's all
Follow me
today.
At Josh Woot.
Follow me at JYNFL, and we're on Twitter at Woot NY and Instagram at NFL Podcast. Next week, we'll be joined by, hopefully, Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus. And
go watch Taylor Swift's new video.
Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Peace.